Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
So I would encourage you after church even to share some more stories with one another, but we're gonna move on. Thanks, Ben, for being our runner today. But as we do that, we're going to continue on with this theme of celebration and this idea that as God's people, we are called to celebrate. So today's scripture is from John chapter 2. And I'm going to read out of one of those saints of this congregation's Bibles. It's a Bible from, it's Don Foster's. And this past week, we were able to go and look. And the first time I ever went to the Foster's house, Don said, pointed upstairs, and he said, "Do you want to go look at your books?" And I had no idea what he was talking about. But he said, "Oh, yeah, so when I pass away, Faith Point gets this library." And then he goes, "But we don't have a building." But and so we kind of went through a little bit of this and that. But then this week we kind of did some holy work of going through the book legacy of what Don has left. So this is from his Bible, which has some notes in it. But Travella told me that Don didn't like, he has notebooks of notes. Not, you don't write in the Bible, right, Travella? You write primarily in notebooks. But so this is from John chapter 2. This is Jesus' first miracle. And it reads like this. On the third day, which will be important later, on the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, so just imagine your mom, okay? Just pause and just imagine your mom saying, "They have no more wine." And Jesus responded, "Woman, why does this involve me? It's not my time yet." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to." Could you imagine that? Like he has this response, and mom's just like, "Hey, you guys, it's your job. Just figure him out," and then just walks away. Right? Classic. So his mom said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to." And so nearby stood six stoneware jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each one holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And so they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And so they did. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He didn't realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called over the bridegroom and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine at the beginning, not at the end, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you've saved the best for now." This is the first miraculous sign Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealing his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. That's such a good story for so many reasons. So many reasons, right? But this past week, my wife and I were kind of reflecting on the wedding season because you get, you know, summer weddings, and then October's a big wedding month too. And so we had done a couple of weddings each this past month. And as we were kind of talking about it, we were talking about, you know, what that means for us as ordained clergy and all kinds of other things. But really for us, weddings are this act of covenant making between two people to witness, you know, with the witness and support of a community that gathers around. And so they're these kind of culminations, though, of hundreds of past routines that honor the past. And weddings then have this wonderful way of capturing the magic of the moment and then the kind of holiness of the mystery of the future. Like there's this weird thing and weird kind of space and time that when the wedding day comes, like I get that it's stressful before, and I get that it's stressful for various people in various ways on the day of, but at the end of the day, you're still married, right? I mean, 99.9% of the time. But, all right, But that whole thing, and this is all wrapped up in one just big old party, and it's really neat. And so as we kind of finish up with this series that we've titled The Power of Routine, we've gone through this discipleship model that we have where we talk about these four areas of growth, where we talk about glorifying God, growing in our faith, giving faithfully of our time and talents, and then going and sharing the light and life of what Jesus offers with the world. And so as we do that, then it's all bathed. We talked last week about prayer. It's all bathed in this prayer. And so we want to live as glad-hearted disciples. Our goal is to live as people with joy in our hearts who know what it is to party and to celebrate. We don't want to be like one of those stereotypical, like you think about like the Puritan Christians that like you can't dance. You can't like look at another person of the opposite sex or else, man, you are just going to hell, right? Like that's, I don't think the kind of people that Jesus calls us to, but to be disciples that know what it is to celebrate and to party and to have this way that fosters this deep kind of discipleship and that we have this longing to be with God. There's a Christian theologian by the name of Eugene Peterson who passed away about 2 weeks ago now or so. He's the guy that wrote the translation the interpretation called The Message. If anybody reads that, it's like this beautifully written kind of all throughout the Bible. We just sat down and said, what does this mean in my own words? And it's this wonderful thing, but he also wrote some really great theological understandings. And what he talked about in this one book called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Doesn't that sound like an exciting read? That was a read that I did this week. A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. 300 pages of Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And he talks about the way that we're called to mature in our faith. And he writes like this, and I think this gives us reason just enough to why we need to be people that celebrate. He says, in the early stages of Christian belief are not infrequently marked, that means oftentimes happens, okay, with miraculous signs and exhalations of the Spirit. But as discipleship continues, the sensible comforts gradually disappear. For God does not want us to be neurotically dependent on him, but willingly trustful in him. Whew, that last sentence, that's what got me this week. Because as we continue on, it's not something like if you've ever had a young child cling on to your leg and not let go, and they have had the strength of like 10 Hulks, all of a sudden, just they will not let go. And so you're walking doing the leg stomp, right? Because they are desperately like clinging on to you because they are like, just do not let me go. I need you. Instead of that kind of, now when we crossed the street the other day with my girls, you know, they knew that they trusted that if I said stop, please stop, right? Because they don't need to cling on, but there's this deeper relationship and this kind of maturing that, oh, okay, I can walk across the street myself, but if dad says stop, it's probably a good idea because some SUV is coming and not watching, right? And so there's this understanding. So, but as we go on in our discipleship, and those miraculous signs may become fewer and fewer because God is saying, no, but look at the ordinary. Sometimes we need to stop and pause and celebrate the ordinary, and celebrate with others who are finding those miraculous things, or celebrate the way that we do the, why is this, right? My car is powered off of the Holy Spirit. What? Or the people in our lives that have come out at just the right time, or there's ways in which my personal passions of animals has somehow, that Venn diagram has just about completely overlapped with my way of being a physical therapy assistant and going, dude, how is this possible? And so every day we can celebrate. So as we talk about this, as we talk about celebration, man, what better way to talk about weddings? Because weddings, there is this beautiful way that it honors the past, right? And so from time to time, there's either a table or like this image, there are places set for loved ones who have passed on. But if we think about it and think about all the people that we named today, you know, when we think about those people who have invested so deeply in us, when we start to think about that moment of the wedding, it is not just the two people making the covenant in front of their friends and loved ones that are standing there, but it's the generation upon generation that have invested to get to that moment. And isn't that a beautiful thing? The ways in which generation after generation, and I think that that's why when we were looking through some of Don's books this past week, it was such a holy act of going, look at the legacy that has been here. Look at the wisdom, not just that he had, but that he was willing at a moment's notice to drop everything and be willing to share that wisdom with other people. You could come in here on a Sunday morning and you could ask Don anything. And even if he doesn't know the answer, he'd be like, well, let's figure it out together. Let's grow together. Let's build that legacy together. Let me tell you about, and he was one of those guys whose stories you'd just be like, okay, just tell me things. I want to soak it up like a sponge. Do you know those types of people, right? And so he was one of those people. And so when he would invest in you, then this wisdom was like a gift. And so on this All Saints weekend, we have time to give thanks and celebrate those saints that have gone before us and that have made a way for us. And then we put on that yoke, that mantle that they have given us so that we can then celebrate the moment. And so one of the things that I like to do with my couples when we are on the wedding day and kind of try to remind them time after time after time, and some of you that I did marry, you can kind of back me up on this if people ask for confirmation, but I say, look, enjoy the day. Take a pause. People are going to ask you 1,000 different things. There might be drama in this corner. Man, I had a couple of weeks ago, there was almost a fight and with his family, and I say to my couples, I said, I'll be the bad guy. That's fine. And so I went over to him, and I'm like, so there's two options. We can either behave like normal human beings, or you can leave, because it's not about you. And they kind of go, oh, I'm sorry, right? But for my couple, say, stop and breathe. Don't miss the moment. And so oftentimes, I love this image. And it was just off of some, you know, stock site. But that imagery of so intently looking at the other and just being so surrounded by what is happening now. Sometimes we are so caught up in the 10,000 other things that we need to do that we stop and we miss. We miss the party, we miss the celebration that's going on because we are so focused on the past or the present. And what God calls us to do is to be part of doing something now. That's where that part where Mary comes to Jesus and she's like, hey, the wine's gone. That was a big deal for a first century wedding because, man, if the wine was gone, the party was over, everybody's done. How does the wedding couple look? They don't look great, right? It's like this social status thing. And so she goes to Jesus and goes, yo, it's time. And he goes, what do you want me to do about it? I got my own schedule. And then the best mom move ever. You guys just listen to him. And just walks off, right? Like, that's awesome. Because what she's saying is that the time is now. Don't miss the moment because you're waiting for everything else to line up. Jesus, get to work now. Keep the party going. How cool is that, right? To say there is something that has happened and so we can wait for this or that or the other thing, but there's also a gift and a grace in saying we're going to live into the moment and we're going to do and take that next step in faith. So that we can connect with our community like we did with Trunk or Treat. Or so like on Thursday, man, if you would have asked us 6 months ago all the work that would go into launching a Celebrate Recovery ministry, like that list is daunting. And when Zach was outlining it for us, it was like, whew, there's a lot of work, right, Zach? But then on Thursday, man, people show up and there is gift and grace because 6-8 months ago, Zach was willing to say the time to act is now, not, well, God, my time hasn't come yet. And God says, hey, you guys that are sitting here, just do what Zach says, and I'll be back later, right? And what a fruitful beginning to an incredible ministry. And so, yeah, there's long work ahead, especially right here, right? That moment represents this kind of singularity of like the past coming together in the present, knowing that there is going to be hard work to be done. But that's discipleship. That's why we have you fill out those spiritual growth maps, because we want to say that we want to set our sights on something bigger and better, that something awesome is about to happen. And so with that mantle of the past, we make our covenant and commitment and set our course for the future. And so then, did you catch how the passage began today, though? 3 days later, okay? And at this point, like oftentimes you go, oh, 3 days later from what? 3 days later is an important thing because the number 3 means the resurrection day, right? God is doing something new. Something new is about to happen. There is new life breathed into this party because of what Jesus is doing. And then the guy says, the host of the party brings the groom over and he says, yo, you've done this all wrong. Where were you hiding the good stuff and why didn't you bring it out when people were still, you know, had their wits about them? But what a powerful message for what Jesus is offering when he says, you know, why'd you hold back the good stuff? right now we understand that we are not fully there yet, and that God is then withholding or is keeping heaven, the perfection, out there somewhere, and the good stuff is still yet to come. That in these wedding vows, in this framework of a wedding, we represent the past and we wear that mantle of the past. We make our covenants to the present, but knowing that there is still something better yet to come. And so as disciples, when we come today, what we do is we remember that God doesn't call us to neurotically depend on God, but is willing, but we want to be willingly trustful of what God has in store for the next. Because it's going to be something bigger and better than the thing that we're encountering now. So what does this all mean? As we get ready to prepare for communion, what does that all mean for us today? I think what it means is, are you reflecting the kind of joy and celebration that draws others into the party, including naming your past and breathing in the moment and setting your sights towards the future? As we partake of this sampling, this foretaste of the kingdom of God, how are we reflecting that as glad-hearted disciples so that then people see it and go, man, I want to be a part of that, rather than that kind of old traditional model of those people that go to church don't have any fun. Man, we have the biggest reason to party. And so let us be a people that act like it.